This is the University Seventh-day Adventist Church in the sunny Orlando, Florida. We are glad that you are listening to our weekly podcast. Our prayer is that you will be blessed and challenged by our message today, and may God lead you in the next step of your growth in Him. Here is our feature sermon.
They have a botanical garden, and we walked through there, and we saw tomatoes, and we saw plants, and they take an old truck and put plants in it, and it just beautifies an old rusty truck, because plants can do that. Plants are amazing. I even got to go to the Lost Lake Cave. I got to ride on a boat on a lake in a cave. But there in the darkness of a cave, there was a plant. There was a plant in the dark that only grew 1 inch every couple hundred years. And it was illegal to touch it. You go to jail because this thing takes so long to grow up there. But I got to go, where else? I went so many gardens, but I started off here at the Lou Gardens. How many of y'all ever been to Lou Gardens here in Orlando? Oh my goodness, every Monday from 9 to 12, not every Monday, every first Monday of the month, it's free from 9 to 12. You ought to go to Lou Gardens. Lou Gardens, they have such beautiful roses there, and they're all in bloom. So I got to go to gardens all over the place. I even got to go to Tuskegee University, where Dr. George Washington Carver took a peanut and made over 300 different products out of a peanut and sweet potatoes. That God of ours, a peanut, over 300 things, and they've got a project that they've sent sweet potatoes up into space. Isn't that so amazing? Gardens. Love began in a garden. And I guess one of the things that I love about gardens is because love began in a garden. And so when we look in Scripture, one of the first things we get to see is a garden. And it was read beautifully to us, and I'm going to read it again, but I think I'll start with verse 5, because in Genesis 2, verse 5, it's just marvelous anyway. The Sabbath, we hear the Sabbath in Genesis 2, but in verse 5 it says, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man in the dust of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward." The Lord God planted a garden. Isn't that amazing? Our God spoke things into existence. He said, let there be sun and stars, let there be. But it says in verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden in the eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground he made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for planting an eternity in our hearts. Bless us, teach us, help us to see your love for us in a garden. And we praise you for the victory you've assigned our lives, and we're counted as overcomers. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He planted a garden in Eden. The word Eden means delightful or pleasurable. Pleasant. He planted pleasant. He planted delight. And there he placed Adam. Now, Genesis 5, verse 2 says that God called their name Adam. So he called Adam and Eve Adam. So Eve is the first person with the last name. Amen. In the Bible, her name is Eve Adam. Maybe it's Adam Eve. I don't know. But He planted them in this garden. But have you ever given thought about that? Just think about it. Our God planted a garden, and then he placed the people he loves. Now, when I was growing up, my dad used to take us walking in the woods. And I loved going with him because he's so smart. I thought my dad was so smart. Oh, my goodness. And he would point out trees and tell me about rocks and critters that are out there, and I was safe and strong. Well, I think that's how it must have been for Adam and Eve as they were walking through the garden. Can you just imagine with me, walking with God, seeing things for the first time? Because remember, he planted this garden. And so everything was brand new to Adam, right? Can you imagine him walking through the garden and turning a corner and seeing a bird of paradise? The plant. Whoa. And then Adam would name it. Or maybe a cherry blossoms. Or maybe, I'm sure there were mangoes there. Oh, my goodness. Just to see. Or maybe walking and then smelling. What is that, jasmine? Can you imagine walking with God and saying, well, God, what is that, son? You name it. You name it. Oh, I think that is a rose. With no thorns, because there were no thorns, no rocks along the path to stub your toes. And you know, in God's garden, everything just grows up. So, because in nature, things are not like, you know, people like to make things orderly. So you have all apple orchards and all pears and all, but God lets it grow all together. It's marvelous. So can you see Adam walking around and seeing maybe a magnolia flower? Oh, wow, Lord, look at that. Or maybe orchids of all kinds. Can you see his garden? And coming up to a little golden daffodil or a sunflower that was turning its face to God. Because you know they always follow the sun, amen? And can you see that all the sunflowers turning and following God when he walks? Maybe there were grapes and pears and bananas. You know, in Genesis, in Exodus, they said they came back with fruit that was so heavy, grapevines, that they had to put them on a pole. I wonder how heavy they were in God's garden that he planted. Those must have been some awfully sweet grapes. Amen? Have you ever imagined walking through the garden with God and naming those things? Love began in a garden. God planted a garden because of relationship and love for Adam. He wanted to surround him with the best, the most fragrant things that would bring him delight. And that's why he called it delightful. I'm going to place you in a place of delight. Isn't that precious? Love began in a garden. So you all couldn't go to the various gardens with me, and I went all over the place. Did I tell you I went to South Dakota? South Dakota, oh, the gardens there, oh, they had bad lands. They are the bad lands in South Dakota, and they really, really are. And I looked over there, and you look at all these crevices and rocks, and you can't find any plants. It's the Badlands. There's nothing but death out there, because once you get there, it's sun and no trees. And those poor folks had to take their wagon trains, and they died out there because they were the Badlands. But it was so funny there. Now, in South Dakota, it's hysterical because in South Dakota, they only have a population of the whole state, 650,000 people. How many people in Orlando? Probably a million. 650,000 in the whole state. They have hardly any people, right? But they told me they can grow everything there. And they said they, because there's so few people there and so little bit of crime, they keep their doors unlocked all the time except during squash season. During squash season, they've got to close their doors. Because if you go to church, Rose, and you leave your car door unlocked, people will bring their squash and fill up your car with squash. And then you're stuck with all that squash. What are you going to do with a carload of squash? because they grow the plants so well, not in the Badlands, but there in Winston-Salem. I went there too, but wherever I was, Mount Rushmore, the area. Anyway, but that's one garden. I'm going to take you to some more gardens in Scripture, because there are a few more. I want to take you to God's garden, where you can see all these beautiful vines and trees, and you could smell them, and he could take a mango down, and it was always going to be ripe and juicy. You know, in my imagination, in God's garden, since there was no death, if he would pluck a flower, a tulip, beautiful, red, yellows, whatever colors, if he plucked a tulip and gave it to his wife, she could say, oh, honey, that's so beautiful, and put it down, and it will keep on growing. Isn't that something? Because there was no death in God's garden. So sometimes on a Sabbath, I want you all to imagine the first garden. Imagine yourself walking through it, because good news, we're going to get back to Eden again. He's promised that for us. But I want to go take you to another garden, and this garden is found in Song of Solomon. Turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. In Song of Solomon, chapter 4, let me read to you, starting with verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Verse 13, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard. And spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon. Ooh, and all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Verse 16, awake, O north wind, and O come, thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. In Song of Solomon, this song is Solomon's best song. And it's an allegory about Christ's love for you. You are his garden. Isn't that awesome? In Song of Solomon, you get to hear Christ's passionate love for you. And so he says, oh, you've got all these spices, and blow upon her. Oh, she's so sweet. She smells so good. She's delight. There's a scripture. There's a verse in there and says, you are all beautiful. You are pleasant to me. You are a delight to me. That's what God says about you, because you are his garden, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth your fruit in your season. He wants us to be trees of righteousness, it says in Isaiah 61, that he's planted us. We will be called the planting of the Lord. You are his garden. So the second garden I want to talk to, not the first one is the one God planted there in Eden. Well, Adam and Eve messed up big time, and God had to shut us out of that one. Remember the story with the angels with the flaming swords? Put them out, and now they had to get weeds and all kinds of issues. That garden right now is barred from us. And so he says, but I'm planting a garden in you. Sweet, fragrant, delightful. Now, God's garden, there's a book that came out some years ago that folks were all upset about. It was called The Shack. And in The Shack, God, they got upset because they depicted God as this black woman. I kind of liked it myself. I wasn't mad at the book at all. But anyway, so in the book, the garden that she grew things out of was so haphazard. I mean, it had things growing over here and things growing over here, and you had to step over that to get to that one. And the man who was the main character, he said, why is this garden like this? And he said, because that's how our lives are. They're not orderly or organized, and things grow and things change. It's also interesting to me that we have a rose here, and we may have a hazel, And we have a violet growing over there. And we've got all kinds of plants here. And you all grow at your own different rates. And you have your own different fragrances, your own different flowers. Isn't that good news? Because God's not trying to make all of you apples. All of you cannot be. It's interesting that they have found that what we do, like I was in Africa. And when I was in South Africa, we were driving, and there were rows and rows and rows, I mean, miles of these straight, long trees. And as you drive, you can see them right down the lines. It was the saddest, most depressing thing. And when we finally got away from where they were growing these plants so they could sell them to the United States and around the world to make money, then you get to the haphazard of Africa. And you see the different kind of trees and different shrubs. But it was interesting to me, in those long, long trees, there were no elephants and no giraffes and no monkeys. There were no birds, there were nothing. Because it's unnatural, that's what we do. Because I want yield. But they're finding that plants grow better when they have other different kind of plants alongside of them. That plants, even plants like to be diverse. They like to touch a root with a flower, and they like to touch a root with a different kind of tree. I even heard, read, listened to, that cocoa, because while I was on my journeys, every time I would see a chocolate factory, I would take a tour. They give free samples. Well, anyway, they said that they cannot grow chocolate cocoa trees like this. They've tried because cocoa needs other trees to cover them. And when they try to grow them, they need to have a variety around them. Well, you are God's planting. You are diverse in your ways and in your growth. And it's going to be that way. Isn't that good news? That I don't have to make you to be like me, or dress like me, or sing like me, or pray like me, or praise like me. Amen? You know, all of you stand up. I'm not telling you this, but I'm saying it. Don't do it. All of you stand up. Everybody cannot stand up and praise. Amen? Everybody can't raise their hands. But see, I like to do that. I like to stand up, and I like to walk, and I like to praise, and I don't want to sit down through service. I would rather, so you all see my feet moving all the time, because I think I've had restless leg syndrome. But when I was young, I remember my mama saying in church when I was sitting next to her, "Stay still." Oh, this is a long time ago. We're not all the same, although I want you all to be just like me. No, no, I do not. I want to learn and grow from your way. I remember Sister Hazel at prayer meeting taught me a different way to pray. I want to learn from you. And that's how we grow and produce fruit, as we share our testimonies and our experiences, our journeys, and grow. Because some of y'all, have you ever looked at seeds? Because we're producing seeds, amen? The coconut seed is way different from a watermelon seed, amen? If you take a coconut and throw it on the ground, how long will it take before it grows? Probably years. If you take a watermelon seed, how long? A couple days, right? If you take a dandelion seed, this afternoon it will start growing. So as soon as you do this, it's going to say, "I'm growing." We are different fruit and vegetables and plants and flowers. And some of us grow faster. The redwood tree, that seed, it has to go through a fire first before it germinates. Isn't that amazing? It needs to be burned. Now, the coconut, it needs to be bounced and scraped over years before it will start germinating. But it has to go through hot and cold and up and down, bounced along in the ocean, and then it may germinate. So you are plants in God's garden. Don't get excited that the Bible study that you gave, they did not say, hallelujah, praise the Lord today. Because you don't know that they may be a berry, or they may be a coconut, or they may be a redwood and have to go through a great trauma before they grow. Don't get excited. You just cast your seed anyway, amen? Let me take you to another garden. Go with me to Matthew chapter 26, because see, love grows in a garden. In Matthew 26, starting with verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Olives, the olive press was close by. It was a beautiful garden. It was late, and it's probably smelled marvelously with all those olives. But it says that Jesus was very heavy. Love begins in a garden, and in there, in this garden, we see Jesus' greatest love. Isn't that amazing? God's greatest love for us was demonstrated in this garden. In there, he took your sins and my sins, and he took them, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I will die for you. He saw you today. He saw me today, and he was willing to carry it, not my will, but your will be done. Let this cup pass. This is awful, horrible darkness, separation from his Father that he was always connected to. But he did it so that we could be connected with our Father that we've been separated from. Love began in a garden. And in that garden, Jesus surrendered self. He surrendered his own will. He connected with the will of divinity in such a way in his humanness that we could be connected with divinity for eternity. Isn't that good news? Oh, really? That's okay. All right. It is such good news to me that it makes me shout and cry, because there at the cross, see, the tree that was planted there was the cross. That's the dog. It's the rumor that it was the dogwood tree. You all seen dogwoods? If you ever get to see a dogwood, dogwood was in Virginia. That's our state tree. I always love dogwoods because there's something about them. Dogwoods are barren. I mean, they have no leaves, no nothing. And in the spring, because I used to have one outside a window, and you would wake up one morning and it would be loaded with these dogwood white flowers or the pink flowers. It would be loaded. And I learned that night it had to go through darkness first, and then in the morning that resurrection would come. Isn't that good news? Now the dogwood tree has a real gnarly, you can't do anything with it. But they say the myth of the dogwood tree is that was the tree that Jesus was crucified on, and it was long and straight, and they cut the planks from this dogwood tree, and they nailed him to this tree. I don't know if it's true. Great myth, though. And they nailed it to him, and the tree was so sad that the Creator was nailed to it. From that point on, it had old little gnarly branches and trunk that nobody can make any planks from it ever again. And the flower has four little petals, and each one of the flowers has a nail print in it. Around it, each one, like a cross, it has a little bloody place on each corner of the flower. In that garden, Jesus gave himself to us forever, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But the good news is that that was not the last garden. There is another garden. The last garden I want to share with you is the garden that's found in John. And in John chapter 20, it says, chapter 19, verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. The last garden is the garden where Jesus was laid. And early Sunday morning, Mary came to that garden looking for her Christ. She couldn't find him, and they rolled the stones away. And she saw what she thought was a gardener. And she approached him in chapter 20. In verse 15, it says, Jesus saith to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith to her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She thought he was a gardener. This is the last garden I want to take you to. But can you see it? The song that we sang earlier was the song of Mary. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Mary saw Christ in the garden. And he walked with her and he talked with her and he said, Girlfriend, go tell the boys that I'm risen. I am not dead. You are God's garden. But every day, isn't that good news? As we walk about the gardens, we can walk with him and talk with him. Because you all sang earlier, every leaf, every plant, every bird is a testimony that we have a miracle-working God and a risen Savior. Isn't that good news? Ah, he walks with me and he talks with me. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I belong to him for eternity. But we got a garden coming up, amen? Where nothing will die. Where it'll always be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. And there's going to be a tree there that bears 12 manner of fruit every month. And the tree is so large that it grows on both sides of the river at the same time. Oh, I can't wait to be there. You too? Do you want to go see that tree? You know what? Some folks say we'll have wings. Maybe I'll fly to the top. But you know what I'm excited about? I plan on going swimming since I can't drown. Amen? And I want to go talk to whales. And I want to swim fast like a dolphin. Fall and never get hurt. Isn't that something? I want to go to worlds that have plants that I've never seen. I want to have vision to see plants that are so tiny that I can't see them right now. I want to see all those things because the Bible says eye has not seen or ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even come into our minds the glories he has for us in the garden. When I was almost finished my everything, all my walking around and my 3-month sabbatical, I got to go to Calhoun, Georgia. Calhoun Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was staying with one of the members there because I was speaking that Sunday. And so he had a little vegetable garden in the back, and you know, I like to walk around because it helps me think about whatever I'm supposed to say. In a garden, I can think real well, and it's a great place to go pray with your eyes open. I love walking through gardens and having prayer walks. But so I said, I want to go down to your vegetable garden. He said, it's not a much. It's almost done. Wanda, you know, we're on a slope and it's drowned out and I'm baby. He said, but you know what? There's a rock garden at church. Let's get you over church earlier and we want you to see the garden. Okay, I'll go see the rock garden. See, my little rock garden over there, you see, I got that little piece of garden over there with the rocks around. All that down there were rocks, and I find so much fun finding all those rocks. There's still more down there, too. And I thought, that's the rock garden. You have little rocks around there. Not even. So I got to this garden. I've never seen such a rock garden. And the first thing you do when you get to the garden is the welcome, but it's scripture. And then you're walking in a Song of Solomon. You are his garden, and you've got apples and spice. And then you see Jerusalem, and you see Bethlehem. And this man who's an architect, no, he's a sculptor. No, he's a gifted man. He has taken all these little rocks, pebbles, and he's built up castles and towns and moats and valleys and the crosses in the center. And you can walk all through, and there's rocks with scripture everywhere, and there's rocks all over the place, and all these castles and people inside, and you can look in, and it's along a riverbank, and the water's running through. But it's amazing, and it's behind the Seventh-day Adventist church. And the man is an Adventist, and he's done this, and he calls himself Big Dog. He's a little bitty old man, and he comes out there and does these pebbles and rocks. I brought a brochure if you all want to see it. But the castles are like this high, and they're all different things, and they plants everywhere. He calls himself Big Dog because he says, every big dog knows his master's voice. Isn't that amazing? And so I walked through, and there was the cross. This man has made his ministry, and now the whole state of Tennessee knows about this rock garden. If you're ever out close to Atlanta, go a little further north, or Chattanooga, go to the Calhoun Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's something to behold. I've never seen anything like it. And he's still expanding it. It's amazing. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's taken the two things, the plants, where you are his garden, and he wrote about it, but he also said the rocks. He took all those stones. And that sometimes he will, once a month or something, he'll bring all the kids to the place, and at night they will take candles. And they'll put them in the window of all these castles so the whole place is lit up. And they will just worship and praise God because he's also the light of the world. Oh, if you get to go, what a garden. What a garden. People come from around the world to see this garden. Well, people will come from around the world to God's great garden. And soon we'll be going because you know the Paris stuff and the air and elections and the ISIS and all the stuff going on and saying it's almost done. How many of you would like to be plants in God's garden? If you want to be planting of his garden, please stand with me. There may be someone here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I give you opportunity to join this fellowship in Jesus Christ, where you will grow up in him and produce fruit in your life that others will taste, see, and know that he is God.